I never had champagne before. It makes me feel silly.
It's supposed to.
The check as you requested, sir.
Ah.
That's so much.
I hope you found it to your liking, sir.
Oh,
it was superb.
It was wonderful.
My compliments to the chef. And keep 20% for yourself. No, make that 30%.
Yes, quite amusing.
What is it?
The fake money.
Fake money?
Is it play money, sir, or stage money?
Keep 30% for yourself and stop looking so serious.
I'll get the maitre d'.
Tom, that's not real money.
What do you mean it's not real money? Oh, my God. Oh, do you have any money?
No. What are we going to do?
We're going to have to make a run for it.
I can't run. My ankles are bad from waitressing.
Just get up. Follow me.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is the Fast and the Furious 6 Podcast.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Douglas.
Okay. Oh, we're off to a great start. Oh, I love these.
I wonder how long it'll take for Douglas to run out of things to call the podcast that it isn't when he's supposed to actually be saying his name.
There's an infinite number of things you can call the podcast. There's literally a bottomless pit of shit that Douglas can come up with. Why did you draw attention to it? He's just going to do this now forever. You understand that, right? See, I stopped calling myself Time Scientist because it's fun 2 podcasts later. Not so much fun now. Douglas is just going to continue to do this because he's Douglas. It's the one thing he'll put a little bit of effort into for this podcast.
You say a little bit, you mean like the 2 seconds before he actually
says
it, right?
That is as much effort as Douglas usually puts into anything in this podcast.
Thank you, Damian.
And
you
me
really
as well.
Know me.
I mean, in all fairness. Pretty much.
Okay, well... Well, moving on into the actual podcast and refusing to engage Douglas any further. This week, I wanted us to talk about this 2009 Japanese film by the title Fish Story.
Fish Story?
Fish Story.
Fish Story.
Fish Story.
This is a movie which is about 2012 Japan, where the world is about to end by a meteor coming down that will engulf the entire of Japan. And
no, it's not a meteor. It's a golden-haired god. Okay?
It's accurate. A wavy, wavy golden-haired god, if we're being really accurate. And he's a prince.
Oh, a prince.
Right?
Okay.
And in this moment, with the entire of Japan running for their lives, there's this one music store where the guy just happens to go to work regardless, unbeknownst of this doom coming. And when he finds out, his response is to listen to his favorite album, which is entitled Fish Story. And we then get into a series of stories which lead up to this moment, involving that same song, Fish Story. I had seen this film previous around 3 to 4 weeks ago before asking you guys to watch it, and I had immediately fallen in love. But at the same time, rewatching this movie this week, I'm not quite sure how you guys would feel about it And I just want to throw it straight to Damien, because I feel like this is where the vitriol is going to come in immediately. Damien, okay. What did you think of this film?
There's not much vitriol, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. I certainly haven't fallen in love with this movie. Fish Story is, as Andrew described it, the part that he's leaving out is that the name comes from a book. In the movie, the name comes from a book. And towards the end of the movie, it is explained, you know, what this book is, the book that they take inspiration to write the song. And the book is essentially mistranslated garbage, which I think is a suitable review for this movie. The movie is trashy and light and kind of fun. It's very quirky. There's a lot of weird shit happening. But the strengths of the movies are the theme song Fish Story is quite good. They play it at least 19 times throughout the movie, which helps. You get to see it perform live, you get to hear it on radios. A lot, I mean, they use it a lot, and it's a really good song. And, you know, there's a couple of scenarios that are kind of clever, and a lot of them that are really dumb. But the movie is just this assortment of stories, and at the end of the movie, it is explained how all these stories fit together, and that explanation is, I mean, I wouldn't say unbelievable, but it's really stupid. It's a dumb explanation to this movie. But the movie, like, the thing about the movie is, while the movie is great, it's not bad. If someone asks me, Damien, should I watch this story, I'd tell him, yeah, give it a watch. Maybe they'll find something in there. But the movie isn't, it's not a terrible movie. It is watchable. It's not really boring. It moves along. The different stories kind of helps. But the movie doesn't, at the end of the movie, I think it tried to make sense. But the movie doesn't really make any sense. And there's a lot of unexplained, you know, really ridiculous things. But it ties into the whole theme of the movie. The movie is light, even though the world is coming to an end. There's, you know, kind of a, you know, a comedic tone towards everything. And so that makes the movie, you know, although it's dealing with a serious subject matter, it doesn't take itself too seriously, which I guess helps. And there's Power Rangers references or Go Rangers or whatever, which is always a bad sign. Nothing good has ever been linked to Power Rangers. It is impossible. Power Rangers is where art and culture and goodness goes to die. I was going to say something mean a while ago, but probably shouldn't. But the movie, it's watchable. It's okay. If you see this, like, this is a movie that if I still watch TV, which I do not, if I was flipping through the channels and I saw this, I'd sit down and watch it and go, I was alright, and then move on. So I know you was expecting vitriol, but not really. It's just kind of okay. Douglas, do you have any vitriol for Andrew?
Vitriol. I don't know. Andrew, this movie, Damien kind of put it well. It's quirky. It's fun. It's fun to watch. But I want to share something with both of you.
Mm-hmm.
While I was watching this film, I picked up on a couple of things, and I came to the conclusion that I probably missed out a few more, but I want to read for you the first couple of notes that I made while watching this movie. And while I was, after the second note, I decided this isn't going to be me writing about the movie. So I entitled it Why This Movie Is a Comedy. So number one was Operation Armageddon,
yeah,
where the Americans
mm-hmm.
actually put nuclear weapons.
Let's rock. Let's
in the no. That was afterwards. That's Indian
people.
No,
I'm talking the they put weapons inside.
So
it is literally stolen from Armageddon.
Exactly, and actually. I didn't write this down, but yes, they did actually say Bruce Willis died on the comment or something like that.
No, the guy, while the guy is arguing for maybe we might survive, he's saying maybe Bruce Willis is still on the comment and he'll explode it, you know? It's just too
exactly.
funny.
And my second note, and I'm not even going to explain this, is just wax on, wax off. That's my second note. So this movie... It's kind of hard to hate it, and it's kind
of
hard to... No, there's not. It's,
right.
It's, no. It has quirky jokes, right? It has those couple of referential jokes that
I
saw. But those are few and far
between.
Those
are gimmies. That's, if you have a movie about the world ending, and you make a reference towards the Armageddon movie, that is a free pass. Anyone can do that. I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. But they definitely also made reference to Karate Kid. Like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Like, wow. Even the painting of the of the fence. I could not believe it when I saw it. But given what you find out about the person who initiated that training, I suppose it's understandable, given his experience with the matter. But this movie, it's very quirky. It's very... I kind of look at this movie and think to myself, this is the type of end of the world movie that Zooey Deschanel would produce. Right? Because on top of everything, you have all of these threads that kind of make no sense together.
First thing, Zooey Deschanel was in a movie about the end of the world.
Don't
bring that up.
Let's forget that exists.
Don't bring it up. Please.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the fish.
Mm-hmm. Because fuck you, Andrew.
I'm just saying.
The books were good, though. what was I saying now?
You're trying to explain what it's...
Right, yeah. There are these threads that don't quite come together until the end. And when Damien came in and saw me watching this, because I actually... I watched this at the last minute, and when Damien came in, I had about 20 minutes left, and I said to him, there's no way that I can come on and talk about this movie at this point, because this makes no sense. And he looked at where it was, and he's like, yeah, that makes sense. Because at that point, everything was still kind of going in tandem. And even while you're watching it, and you see all of these threads kind of go off, especially because of the way that this movie is portrayed, and I suppose the actual way that these things are put together, are still quite quirky. But you start to think of, you know, what is the explanation that you think is going to come? You know, how are they going to tie all of these stories together? And how are they going to get this end of the world not to happen? Because you kind of... It's clear that that's where... Or it looks like that's where it's going. And, you know, you keep thinking, well, is it that these various people in these storylines are really some sort of, you know, superheroes, and they come together and form Voltron and, you know,
there's Power Rangers at the start, something so like that.
And so I kind
of,
in my head, that was where it was going. Because, you know, I saw it, I saw the robots combining, then I saw them, like, punching the comet, and then one of them coming home and kissing Zooey Deschanel or something, right?
Or a Godzilla monster. This is a Japanese movie.
Yeah, that's true. That did not happen. The actual culmination was still quite quirky, but probably just a little, you know, it's bad when my solution to the problem of 2 + 2 = chicken is Power Rangers, which I think I would have probably been okay with.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed. If my bar is Power Rangers saving the world and something goes below that bar, mm-hmm. that's not a good thing. Right? Do you agree, Damian?
I'm 100%
so, I mean, it was the five Guardians of Justice.
I hear you, Andrew, but...
I'm sorry, what?
More like the five Guardians of Justice and a mustache.
Yeah,
I don't that a disturbing mustache. Who probably did all the calculations?
That mustache alone.
Just because you can't grow that mustache.
See, I'm right, I can't.
So this movie, I kind of don't want to say it's a bad movie. I don't like
it. Terrible.
It's enjoyable most of the way through.
It's not a good day to die hard.
The music is great, even though it's really only one song.
It's no Identity Thief.
It's as good as Identity Thief.
It's okay.
Oh, Damien, how dare you?
As enjoyable.
So, Andrew, you fell in love with this movie. Mm-hmm. Why?
He was high and drunk.
Why
oh, I'm
and
sorry,
where?
Andrew, I'm supposed to answer that question. Never mind. Oh. You edit that out.
I'm always high and drunk, guys. Don't you
Andrew
know that?
Andrew has been sober.
Like I literally stopped being high for around a week so that I would pass my drug test at work, and that's it. I've been high ever since.
A wise man once told me to do that.
But with me and this movie, you guys are right. It does have that quirk element, and it's not just in the few jokes which are directly put in there for us to enjoy, but the tone that goes with it, the light tone. But for me, it's more about that interconnecting story, because even before we get that moment where everything is stitched together, you kind of get this feeling as to not just leading up to the end of the world or how we're going to end up saving the world, because there's that moment, it's an early scene with the guy who's the driver, who he's been told by this girl who's been, we are supposed to trust has a sixth sense of some sort, and gives a premonition stating that mm-hmm. one of these guys are going to have an important role to play in the saving of the world, right? And for me, it's really about those little moments where one story bleeds into another, and it's not so much the exact thing that does it, but really how one just amps up. Like, for example, the song Fish Story, which is... I don't want to say it's the first thing, because we find out at the end of the movie that it isn't the beginning. But it's what this movie for a long time holds as its beginning point. And then there's that 1 minute of silence in the song. And that minute of silence in the song comes out of a decision, out of an edit, which then leads to this guy in a car who then he gets to meet the important woman in his life because of that silence. But at first you hear it and you go, is this supposed to be his car being cursed? No, it's this wonderful thing. And then, of course, that leads into the next story, which is him... I'm about to ruin the whole movie for people. I mean, it's a four-year-old movie, but I'm feeling... just a weird feeling of not going there. But it's just a film about how everyone's life is interconnected, and all of these stories that we tell are all interconnected. And the first movie that I thought about watching this film that it reminded me of was Cloud Atlas, right? Being a movie of the very same idea. And something about the way that this movie was stitched together, I kind of liked it. I even want to say that I like it in this vein more than I like Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlas is a more crowd-pleasing movie and a more entertaining, like, just not comedy, but just genre-wide varying movie. This movie, however, it feels a bit more pointed towards that idea of these stories going one to another to build up lives, to build up all these other stories. And I love even further when we get the story of the book, of the bookfish story, where he's explaining about the interpreter. I love that bit. Shit. Am I supposed to ask if they're still there?
No, we're here.
1 week I ask and you're there. 1 week I don't ask, you're not there. 1 week I ask again, you're there. It's all ups and downs.
This is your fault, you know. You're the one who left the country. No,
very
I told
true.
You to leave.
It's all my fault.
Right, you stay here.
But even further to just being the overall idea of the movie, the stories in themselves I really enjoy and are really fun to watch. I mean, you guys talked about the Fish Story song. I adore the song, and it's kind of almost pushed me into trying to listen to more punk music from that time, because I never really paid attention to that genre of music, that time of music. I love the... You guys talked about the Karate Kid story, which I adore, right? Because even, like, the point where it becomes an action movie in that story, you almost... It has this pause, which kind of makes you think... Because this guy has been telling us this story that he has been trained to be the savior of all men or whatever, you know, whatever you'd call Superman. I'm sure it's the same conversation you're going to have when we watch Man of Steel, where he's going to talk to Lois Lane and be like, I've been bred to be the savior of all men.
Let's not talk about Superman yet. We'll have plenty of time. All right?
Mm-hmm. Which is this ridiculous...
Time to hear that movie. It'll be good.
It's an instant one, right, Douglas?
Yeah.
Right.
I have the assert, so don't worry.
Actually, I think I'm just going straight to Joel and telling him it's a negative -5.
You realize me and Joel going to watch that movie. You don't fuck up, son.
I like that stuff. And then even the small bit to do with the driver that I've already talked about, I like how that whole silence and relationship played out in that moment. It's just such... It feels like it's a filmmaker who's finally figured out the balance between making a movie fun and enjoyable and at the very same time amazingly interesting when you actually stop to think about what the movie is actually talking about. And that's part of the reason why I love this movie this much. I don't know if this helps or hurts how you guys have thought of this movie as just being a weird, quirky Japanese film.
Andrew, I don't think it is a good idea to tell people to ponder about anything about this movie. I think that is a bad. If you stop and think, it's going to lead to nitpicking, and we don't want to go down this road. Not with this movie. Douglas is shaking his head in agreement, because there are a lot of things that, even for half a second, if you put any brain power towards it, it will make this movie fall to pieces. I kind of feel like this is a reversal of the conversation that we had about the fairy, where me and Douglas enjoy plastic bag jellyfish, and Andrew was on the other side listening to two lunatics talk about this dumb, weird, quirky movie that he just thought was at best okay. And so I can see from that perspective, I still believe that your opinion is wrong. I love saying that statement. It's so good. Ah, I love it. We should just change the name of the internet to "Your Opinion Is Wrong."
That's what the internet is, isn't it?
Yes, that's why we should change the name. Like, something that represents what the internet actually is. It's just that your opinion is wrong plus porn. That is it. All of the internet.
No, and you bring those together by saying your opinion is wrong unless it's porn.
Fair enough. It's kind of longer than the internet, but who cares?
Do people not have opinions of porn?
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You really are drunk.
to take the famous line from one of our favorite movies, I'm not that drunk.
Sure you are. Like this movie, anybody can watch it. And I really, like, if Andrew hadn't come here and said that he loved the movie, I'd have just gone, it's an okay movie, and I don't see anybody loving this movie, but clearly I'm wrong, Andrew loves it. But for most people, I think they'll fall on me and Douglas's side. It's okay, it's quirky. If you like that type of thing, you'll enjoy the movie. If you don't, I can't imagine you will have anything complimentary to say about the movie. Especially if you don't like punk music, which most people don't. Most people don't listen to punk music.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Even while Andrew's like, ooh, I really want to listen to punk music now, this is very, very watered down punk, though. You know, yeah. It's good. I really do like the song, but it's not, like, you know, if you listen to some of the...
Like punk music stuff. And like hardcore rock music and like gangster rap music, it's good when you're in your teenage years and you think the world has done something to you and you're angry. But when you're an adult, you can't, like, listen to people scream at you for like 2 hours straight. It's not the way I want to come home after work. And unwind.
I've met 40-year-olds who listen to nothing but death metal, and it bothers me.
Yeah, they're crazy. Like, you should put them on a list and hand that list over to any police agency you can find. There's clearly something wrong. But the movie's fine. It's fine. I think that's, yeah. This movie's a 2. Right? A 2. Andrew would give it a 4. He won't give Furious 6 a 4 though, because he's high and drunk, as I stated earlier in this podcast. There's something wrong.
Do I have a drug test today, Damien?
I guess we're going to have to start implementing that if you're going to keep coming up with horseshit reviews for awesome movies. What is wrong with you? Is the old Andrew coming back? Is that it? God damn it. Thought we shot him. Right. Andrew, do we have we had a question last week, right?
Yes, we did.
Oh, wait, by the way, how was your guys' midweek podcast, The Arrested Development? I see it on the RSS thing, but I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet.
I liked it. I thought it was quite good.
What's the verdict on Arrested Development?
Arrested Development is awesome.
Still Arrested Development? Fair enough.
Yes, also still very Arrested Development.
Yeah.
We question the logic of forcing you to watch it.
Have you ever watched any of that, Damien?
I've seen maybe 2 episodes.
It just about it two doesn't strike about me episodes as much something that you'd really like.
It seemed like one of those comedies that you have to be in it.
Yeah.
Because it references itself and inside jokes.
It's like it's like the way I described it on the podcast was, it's kind of like Community, just way more.
Way worse.
Yeah. And especially this new year, it's kind of tries to bootstrap itself a lot. So it starts off a little bit slow, but it builds towards the end.
Right, like when 30 Rock was good, and it was just all inside jokes to 30 Rock. Yeah. And like, I'd have people who were just watching a random episode go, what is none of this is funny or makes sense. I'm like, what are you talking? This is the greatest thing anyone has ever written. Like, all right, fine. You'd have to sit the person down for like 2 hours. And like, all right, this led to that. There's no point.
And there's so many things in it. It's just great. You know, you've got the joke here and then the joke behind.
Right. And there's like literally jokes that are wallpapers on backgrounds and shit walking across the screen. Like, I've no idea. I see where the funny is supposed to be happening because I've seen enough comedies to know where things are funny, but I don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
So it is all over my head. Like, this isn't that funny.
You should start watching from year one.
I probably
it's,
should.
It's great. I know that you have a bit of an issue with one of the main characters.
No, that was fun a long time ago. Me and Michael Cera. Now that he's no longer in movies.
I was just saying the same thing to Andrew. I haven't seen him in movies in ages.
It was that dumb movie where it was a video game character and then he disappeared.
Oh, just one thing since you guys were talking about this. It's already been confirmed that Dan Harmon is coming back to Community for season 5. Does this matter to us? Is this NBC attempting to save itself?
That's exactly what it
says. I hope he runs it into the ground. It's what I want. I hope, like, after 3 episodes, they say, you know what? This was a mistake again. You're fired. Community is over. He just takes all of the money for the full season and just wrecks the first 3 episodes. Just comes up with the most outlandish shit imaginable and forces NBC. So it's like, you know, alright, fine. We get it. We shut in all of this shit, though. That's what I want. It's not going to happen.
You know what would be great? Is if they started out the next season kind of like...
Just ignoring this season?
In a sense. Not really ignoring it, but there's this this daily... the midday soap where in the end... It was like it pulls out and it's all in somebody's imagination as they're seeing a snow globe or something.
Right.
It would be great if you just started off something like that, like to say the whole 4th season just didn't really happen. Yeah. You know? That would be perfect.
And like, remember that year when we thought we were going to graduate? Yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah. That's why we're still in Community College.
Yeah, even better news came out, though, than Dan Harmon returning. Guess who is doing the Justice League movie?
They announced that?
Yes.
I don't know.
Guess.
Joss Whedon.
No.
I remember seeing this, but I don't know who it is. Then I can't recall.
Who would be the
Chris Nolan.
Who would be the best person to direct?
Was it Zack Snyder?
You're damn
yes,
right, it's
that's
Jack
who it
Snyder.
Was. Yes,
damn right. Perfect. Hey guys. So no, that is like early confirmation that Superman is awesome. They're like, holy shit!
I just right, keep just watching Superman trailers. I need to
and
stop.
And they just keep getting better. Like even the 30-second clips you watch, and you just seeing some guy choke out Superman with beams coming out of his eyes, and like. This is why is this about it? Why are they doing this to me? Can they just put this out, please, so that I can stop watching garbage? You know, they're making me wait. So it's E3 this next week, and then Superman, and then I'm going to be dead or something. I don't know. I don't care.
Superman is 3 weeks.
Superman is
3 weeks from now.
Is the 17th?
It's the 19th.
For you or for the world?
For me at least. I don't know
No, that sounds wrong. I'm pretty sure it's in 2 weeks.
IMDb, Man of Steel.
Questions.
I know, I was about to say.
Stop
we could start
time.
Talking about some questions.
June
I've been
14th.
Trying to dance to the
wow.
pretend music
exactly.
all the time.
Right, I know it is E3 and then Superman.
So I have to avoid the internet for 2 weeks? Wow.
Who's that girl?
Anyways.
Everyone it's says Jess. It's awesome. You don't have to avoid anything. The movie won't be less awesome or less terrible if someone says it is. What is wrong? Andrew, haven't you been on the internet long enough now?
You mean your opinion is wrong? I've been there.
Exactly. Everything you read or just stop reading the internet. Why are you even doing that in the first
place? I don't know. Don't know.
Oh, right. You have Twitter. Right. Some answer right. to put it on Twitter. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. Right. Never
I was surprised
I
how quick people were to post Arrested Development shit on Twitter as opposed to when House of Cards was going on. House of Cards, no one wanted to post anything.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But they definitely did with Arrested Development.
Because it's a fun joke. Is there anything to spoil in a fun joke comedy? Turns out, yes. We're still
Anyways.
Not talking about questions.
Questions. last week, with all of the news of Damon Lindelof and Michael Bay talking about apologizing for their films, Star Trek Into Darkness and Armageddon, respectively.
Wait, sorry, what?
Star Trek Into Darkness, the apology was to having Alice Eve half naked and not full naked.
Oh, that was okay, right, apology. Right. I remember, we talked about this last week, now that I think ridiculous. About it. Yes, okay.
And I was curious, because while I may not agree that filmmakers owe any of us any apologies for anything, I do feel that if they're handing them out like lollipops at this point, why not just ask for some of the ones that we really feel we really should be getting? Mm-hmm. Like some of the real travesties against cinema.
Right. The FP not winning Oscars. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I mean, story. did you hear that speech about ducks? That's like life affirming.
So good. It's the end of days, J-Tro. Darkness has come.
Anyways, the internet responded, but sadly not with that many varying responses. There were at least 5 responses that came in, all claiming everything after Sixth Sense for M. Night Shyamalan.
And that has apparently that trend is continuing.
I was hoping people would stay away from that obvious response, because everyone wants to pile on Shyamalan, especially with his new movie coming out.
Remember, there's a time that everyone thought that this guy was the next guy. He was supposed to be like what Chris Nolan is now. He should have just, shot off into the stratosphere. And I was one of the early naysayers, because I have sense, but eventually everybody else. Like, he forced everyone else's hand, even people who wanted to like him. So, of course, he owes those people an apology, because the people believed in him. And he has done nothing but let them down. So, why not? Why not ask for that apology? It's not like they're asking for... What's the guy that does the terrible movie, and he's... I think he's German. What's his name? In the Name of the King. Him.
Oh, Uwe Boll?
Uwe Boll, right. It's not like him. People asking for, apologies from him. Because what if you watch any of his movies, you're an idiot. It's all your fault.
That's possibly true. And the fact that Uwe Boll will then punch you in the face himself, as he's done multiple times to people.
This is Jamaica. We have guns here.
But anyways, a few other responses that came in. Jack Giroux, friend of the podcast, said that he'd really love to hear an apology from Ridley Scott for Hannibal.
Not Prometheus? No apologies for that? No? For this prequel to this series that was supposed to answer questions and answered literally 0 questions. No? No one wants? Alright, fine. Sure. Andrew, have you seen that movie again?
What, Prometheus?
Yeah.
I saw it since the theater, and I like it. I just know that it doesn't make that much sense.
Ah, okay. Okay. So you are unwilling to say that I'm right.
Yes, I'm unwilling to say right. That you're I know you're right.
Not going to say. Alright, that is fine. I can understand that.
Douglas, I mean, there's Idris Elba in there. I have to like it at least a little bit.
Seen bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of it. Probably most of it, yeah. I still enjoy it. I'm kind of with Andrew. I guess I was never looking for a movie that is Make profound sense. And no. explains things Douglas. And I just Douglas, wanted to enjoy myself and that I did.
Douglas Robinson, the movie was sold on a lie. The movie was sold as we're going to explain some shit about aliens. That is Douglas. Don't
no,
shake,
I hear
don't
you. No, okay. Yes, I agree. That's what it was sold
but
as. You have to recall.
Know that
Hold
that
on,
didn't
stop,
happen.
stop. Please recall. Mm-hmm. That the way that Douglas picks movies,
right.
The way that Douglas watches movies, is not the traditional way.
Douglas, honest.
He looks at the poster and says, yes.
Thank you, Andrew.
I understand, Douglas. But the reason the whole world got excited about this was you heard Ridley Scott and Aliens. And Ridley Scott said, we're going to explain shit.
True.
And that didn't happen. Who else wants apologies?
At Film Cave says that he'd really like to hear Brett Ratner apologize for X-Men The Last Stand.
Andrew, hold you're on. A snake loose.
But there's like a you see, why did he need a specific apology? And how many good movies has Brett Ratner actually been attached to? Let's if you want, let's give him the first Rush Hour.
And two. You have to give him. If you're going to give him the first one, you have to give him part two.
I don't know about that.
No, you have.
No. Part two was pretty good. It was not.
No, if we're using Rush Hour 1. If we're using Rush Hour 1 as a mark.
No, but you see, Rush Hour 1 was never really good. It was just enjoyable.
Right, but if we're giving him that one.
No, but Rush Hour 2 was complete. It was bad on both counts.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Damien,
that's not nice.
Think about it.
I won't.
Think about it.
I won't.
So yeah, when did Brett Ratner actually do a good movie,
he
Andrew?
Red
Other
Dragon.
Than, no, he said that he wanted to say Red Dragon, mm-hmm. but couldn't.
I like Red Dragon.
Yeah, I would say Red Dragon, but I watched that movie the other day again, and that movie's not that good.
No, that's well, I haven't seen it in, I guess, since it came out, so I don't know. But I liked it when I saw it.
I also like to think that part of me not liking Red Dragon so much now is that I like the Hannibal show so much.
Oh, that show is so good. So good.
Sorry, what show?
Shut up. I watched this week's episode yesterday and was happy to find out that Eddie Izzard comes back. I like Eddie Izzard. Like him a lot.
Spoilers.
Pretend, Douglas. Douglas, just be happy that you have things. Why are you caring about Eddie Izzard? There's so many other things to be excited
about.
I know,
Andrew.
But than just
anything,
Eddie Izzard.
You know me. Anything with Eddie Izzard in it is like
you're a sick man.
10 brownie points added immediately.
Did you ever watch that TV show he was in on FX?
Yes, Riches. I watched the first season and couldn't quite stomach trying the second one.
Mm-hmm. Good. So next time you showed up, Eddie Izzard, I'll remind you of that show. And the only other response we got was from at Alflicker, who, once again, this one is kind of weird for me, saying we're never to forgive and never to forget Joel Schumacher for Batman and Robin.
All right, that's
I can't argue that with
is,
that one.
Wow. Yeah, I'll accept that one. I want to. I mean, it's probably mean to do this, but like, as my niece grows up, I'm going to show her the good Batman movies first, clearly, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to show her, you know, the original Batman. I'm going to keep her in the dark about, you know, terrible Batman movies for a while. And then one day I'm going to show her.
I need you to tell me what are the terrible Batman movies.
So there's the first Batman movie, Tim Burton's Batman.
Which is good or bad?
No, that's good.
Oh, okay.
And then there are the Chris Nolan movies.
And that's it?
And then everything else is garbage.
Wow. He did go a little bit overboard with Batman Returns, I admit.
Yeah.
But can I tell you while I don't...
So hold on. Just out of curiosity, I'm trying to remember. Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Is that the one that had Batgirl in it? Or is that the one...
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's the one with George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's Batman Forever.
Right. So while I can't defend that movie, I do believe...
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched it in a long time, so this might be young Douglas taking over. But that movie was quite enjoyable. Not a good movie, mm-hmm. but, you know, a fun little stupid movie to watch, Batman Forever. No? No.
Douglas. I will always remember the Riddler with
mistaken.
Kind Just. Words in that movie.
It is awful.
Of course you will, because it's Jim Carrey,
yeah.
and both you and I have a bit of a bias.
Look,
on that front.
Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones as a Two-Face was hilarious. But the movie is...
Look, I love how half of his lines, right? Half of Tommy Lee Jones' lines in that movie is...
Yeah, there's a point where they say, where he's like holy sinking ship Batman or some.
Yes, and yes. It is just Chris O'Donnell had a lot of those
just
lines.
The most awful thing. Like, even as a child, that is.
I remember there's a part in the end where he has to shimmy up a tube, mm-hmm. and he gets in there and he's like, holy rusted metal.
Yeah, that is it. Holy rusted metal. I'm like, what? What? Yeah. So, yeah. Douglas, that line alone, the fact that has stuck out in your brain proves that movie's terrible. Yeah, it's off. It is just dreadful. And so I'm going to wait a while and ensure that and just watch as her face just you know, it's just shattered by the reality that there was ever terrible Batman movies. I think that would be fun.
You know, I wonder if they're going to make any Robin movies with Cobra Commander.
Probably not. Even if it is him as Robin, it will be called a Batman movie. They're going to have.
They'll call him Batman. Walk around. Yeah. People have been questioning as to whether they're going to make. Make him into Nightwing or whatever the other right. one is. I don't remember all of
no,
these.
No, I
things.
Think Nightwing it's was Robin him. Nightwing, yeah, right. yeah.
But no, you can't sell if you have Batman as a title. You can't. You're not going to sell the movie as Robin or Nightwing because three people will care that is the name. Everybody else won't. And
so essentially, it will
Batman.
Be it will be called Nightwing, Batman's little helper.
Right. or just Batman. And then, like, under the N, like, where they put the trademark logo,
yeah.
they just have Nightwing scribbled under this. Yeah, you have to look carefully to see.
So, Andrew, I think we've diverged a bit
yes.
a bit wide right. here. Please help us.
Yeah, we're supposed to do our list now because we've done the questions.
So, before we go to the list,
yes.
Talking about the new question for next week.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, one question in, one question out. I was thinking about the fact that it feels that this last month, the whole month of May, has been so jam-packed with summer blockbusters that we've been missing for the rest of the year, to the point which I'm almost tired of summer blockbusters.
And blasphemy. I mean, why would you say that?
And I'm curious to you guys, what movies do you watch to kind of cleanse your palate of these kinds of films of after you've seen Fast 6 for the 7th time?
My cleansing palate film is it's Damien's favorite as well. It goes by the name of Star Matrix Fast Superman
episode
12.
Andrew, what are you talking about?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as too many summer blockbusters. Andrew Robinson.
The only reason they have a summer blockbuster season is because it is financially unreasonable to make summer blockbusters the entire year. Right? There's not enough money. There's not enough people to make all those movies. Right? So they say, you know, we're just going to give you your time. Let's put all of them here. And everyone enjoys the summer. And when the summer is over, what do? You wait for your summer movies to come out. And then you watch those until the Oscar nonsense starts in November.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of. And the way you look tonight, Yes, you're lovely. Out of my way. People have to be told.
You know I can't let you do that.
Suddenly you discover humanity. Convenient. I'm just scared from the start. None of this would have happened.
I can change almost anything. But I can't change human nature.
This week's top five, tying in with Fish Story. Because I really wanted to pick a different topic, but I didn't want to hint at what Fish Story was for you guys before you watched it. I wanted you guys to go in as blind as possible. So I picked the easiest top five, which was the top five films about the end of the world. Because while this movie isn't really about the end of the world, it kind of focuses a lot on that.
Mm-hmm.
Damien, I know this is a favorite of yours.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to ask that you kick this off.
Alright. End of the World is kind of broad. There's movies that happen post the end of the world, which are some of my favorites. I love movies about, you know, the post-apocalypse. All this shit has happened, and now there are people alive, so whatever. And there's movies that kind of talk about the end of the world. There's very few movies about the world actually ending, like ending life, because that is a way to, you know, end a movie, but it is not a very pleasing way. A lot of people don't like their movies to end with everybody on Earth dying, except probably me. So, a lot of the movies on my list range from Before the World Ends. There's one about the world actually ending, and then there's some about the post-world ending, which doesn't really make sense. So my number five is Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. I love that movie. I've seen it more than once now. I won't tell you the actual number because Douglas is already shaking his head. but the movie, it is... I love it, and I love the fact that it's the only movie on my list with the world actually ending. The world ends at the end of this movie. It is over. There is a full stop. And it is a comedy in at the start of it, and then it gets deadly serious by the end of it. And I enjoyed all of this movie. And the more I watch it, is the more I enjoy. It's clearly not for everyone, as Douglas is furious and scowling at me. He's actually scowling, which is kind of sad. But that's my number five. Douglas Robinson, what is your number five?
Oh, am I going next?
Yes.
Well, you cannot have a top five list, or apparently a completely other movie, without talking about Operation Armageddon.
Damn right.
So Armageddon is my number five.
My number five goes to a movie that we've mentioned a lot on this podcast, and it's always in reference to movies being ridiculously depressing. I remember reading this book and watching the movie, being one of the few movies that I've actually read the book of, and wondering why they left out one particularly really depressing moment. Only to realize people like Damien telling me, Andrew, if they went any further in being depressing, they couldn't make it into a movie. Nope. And this is Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Yep.
This is a movie which exists completely after the world has ended. and it's all about a father trying to keep his son alive as he's moving south in belief that somehow going south is going to save them. And there are certain things about this movie which just kind of cue you into the world that they're in. The fact that he walks around with a revolver but refuses to use it because he has the two bullets left. One for his son and one for him, if he ever needs to do that. No matter how bad a situation he ever gets into, he never fires a gun. Because he knows he needs those two bullets to kill him and his son. Because worse than anything else happening to him and his son, he can't imagine other people getting his son to do whatever horrible things they would end up doing to him. And I love this movie. I don't know why I don't own this movie on Blu-ray. I need this movie.
I just like to say that as an indication of how depressing this movie is, a skinny and haggard Viggo Mortensen was able to rob Omar of everything. How do you get... No. Andro, oh, what the fuck?
I would whistle, but I can't.
That's very sad. Alright. My next movie is still more... No. Never mind. I was going to say it was more light and cheery than most movies about the end of the world. But it's a goddamn lie. It is, though. It is a cartoon, so take that for what you will. It is Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind. People, when you say, you know, cartoon movies, people automatically think of Disney movies, which, fair enough, Disney put out great movies. And now, when you think about kids' movies, it's Disney or Pixar or whatever. But none of the movies Disney has ever put out, none of the movies that Pixar has ever put out, is anywhere as good as this movie. It is tremendous. I've even seen it in its native Japanese, and nothing changes. Watching it with subtitles changes nothing. There is an English dub. The English dub is tremendous. Like this movie, it is shocking how few people have seen it, especially in this country. It's not their fault. Can't really blame them. You would think that this country's love of Dragon Ball Z would have, you know, exposed them to more, you know, Japanese movies, but it didn't. It's just Dragon Ball Z, and then nobody else cares about anything. But for those who haven't seen this movie, the movie exists in this place where these giant creatures have come from underneath the ground, and they migrate and they are slowly destroying everything. And there's this girl who believes that, you know, the creatures aren't as, you know, angry and evil as the people who live in the world believes. And something happens and she comes in contact with them, realizes that, you know, they aren't these demonic evil creatures hell-bent on destroying humanity. They're just creatures who, you know, they need a home, and every time the humans attack them, they react. And it is glorious, absolutely glorious, it's spectacular. And so this is, it should be number one, but it's number four.
Douglas. Speaking of Bruce Willis.
Okay.
For those of us who believe that there are only four elements, you are mistaken.
Incorrect.
There are five.
Lilo Dallas and her multipass.
Yes. And both Lilo Dallas and Bruce Willis showed us the fifth element. That movie is awesome. Andrew.
It's amazing how much Bruce Willis shows up at the end of the world. I think he's the one who causes it, in all honesty.
That's a different list, Andrew.
Oh. My number four is the oldest film on my list, and it's a movie which people may argue isn't really an end of the world film, but I will tell them they're wrong. And it's a 1951 version of The Day the Earth Stood Still. They tried to remake this movie a few years ago, in a very Will Smith production-like, as far as I can remember, and it didn't turn out too well. But the 1950s version of this movie is actually very good.
Keanu Reeves that was in the new one?
Yeah, and Jaden Smith was the annoying child
in it.
Right.
So that's why I hate him. Oh, I remember now. I knew there was a legit, because I haven't seen the new Karate Kid, but I knew I hated that him for some reason. Now I remember. Thank you guys for that.
Have any of you guys seen the 1950s version of this
Absolutely
movie?
Absolutely not.
I think so, but it's a long time ago though, so I don't really remember too much. I
wasn't going to the theaters, but
I remember the robot scene.
I love the robot scene. But there, a lot of this movie does play like as if it's a radio broadcast where everything is told to us, and it's done in such a stern, direct manner. But at the same time, there's so many visual moments that I love about this movie that you can kind of feel the dread that these people go through the moment they realize, holy shit, there are aliens and they can vaporize all of our things and literally ruin our lives in a second. And it's all about this alien trying to decide as to whether mankind is worthy of existing again. And I really like this movie. It's a really good movie. And I choose to forget that there was a Keanu Reeves remake with Jaden Smith as an annoying child.
Fair enough. My next movie is the greatest zombie movie of all time, 28 Days Later. There's people who think there are better zombie movies. Those people are stupid people. And they're so wrong. Like, he did it the best. It is the best one.
But the sequel is the one that has Idris Elba, so you're wrong.
You know what else has Idris Elba? Prometheus and what's that?
And Thor.
Thor and what's the shitty movie with Nicolas Cage on fire?
Oh, Ghost Rider.
He's in that Spirit of Vengeance. Mm-hmm. That movie's actually fun, guys.
You are.
I don't want to find out whether you are correct.
And then you rank Fast 6 at 2. You sound like a crazy person. I just putting that out there. You sound insane. So, 28 Days Later. Everyone in the world has seen it at this point. Or you've seen some derivative of it. You should. If you think about zombies, it's Walking Dead. Because that is actually on air.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Walking Dead is finished, and you feel, you get over the fact that it's depressing as all hell. Then you watch 28 Days Later and you go, yeah. And then you stop watching zombie things. That's a wrap, you're done. So, yeah. Douglas.
Okay. Number 3 goes to, well, it appears that Keanu Reeves is also a very big end of the world man.
Mm-hmm. But that's, again, different lists.
Yeah, different lists. Yeah. Different mm-hmm. list. So, I think, though, Bruce Willis generally saves the world because he's awesome. I think Keanu Reeves is just so awful that he generally causes the world to want to end. So, yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to steer away from probably the most obvious one. But for me, my number 3 is Constantine. I know a lot of people.
I need to watch that.
It's very kind of divisive in a sense.
I know I love that.
But that movie is just so fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing more that I can say about that movie. It's not a good movie.
I still haven't read the comic that it is based.
Nor
on.
Have I. Nor do I need to. But that movie is fun.
I mean,
it just has everything.
If the rules stands where movies are less than books, and the book should be.
Agreed. Yes.
But that was pretty fun. I enjoyed that movie a lot, even with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Andrew Robinson.
So my number three film is a film which we've talked about a lot and we all love, but I don't think many people think of it in this subgenre of film being end of the world movies. And it's kind of mainly by the fact that saying it in this way might lead to talking about an idea of spoiling the movie. But it really isn't, as far as I'm concerned.
It's the movie I want.
And it is the film from last year, Drew Goddard's Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. This movie, I almost used that one just a while ago. Just so that I could pick it.
This movie is just so good. Like, I really enjoy it. And there's... towards the last third, it kind of comes to be clear about how it ties into being the end of the world. And I won't really go too detailed into that. But just be known that there's a reason why horror movies end the way they do. It's to save us all.
And to all a good night. I'm sorry, what? Right. So, I know what my number one is. I have this extremely long list. I need to pick a number two. And I'm not sure. I should just go with the movie that I love the most, I guess-ish. Alright, The Matrix. Yeah, I'm just going to go with The Matrix.
Oh shit, did Keanu Reeves just take just overtake Bruce Willis? I think he did. It's 3-2.
I think The Matrix is my number two.
What's the third?
We just told you number three. We did number three 1 pick ago.
No, yeah. Keanu Reeves is...
Constantine.
And The Matrix.
Neo. He is the 1951 movie remake.
No, that doesn't count. No one talked about the remake. The remake doesn't exist.
That doesn't make it any less of a movie. You might not want it to be. There's also Point Break.
He definitely saves the world there.
Oh, Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventures.
Right, Johnny Mnemonic.
What was the one with the time traveling post box? I don't remember.
That's Bill and Ted. That's Bill and Ted.
No. That's the telephone booth. I'm talking about the one where he has a relationship over time with a post box with Sandra Bullock. I think it is.
That's the Lake House. Is that the name of it? Yeah.
If we're talking about shitty Keanu Reeves movies, guys, you've been doing it wrong.
God! Wow! Wow! Alright, so Matrix. Hey guys, Matrix.
Oh, does that mean it's my turn? So, thanks Andrew, I'm going to have to call an audible. Thankfully Damien didn't take one that I really, really love. And that would be the great Alfonso Cuarón and his Children of Men.
Fuck you.
Andrew. Like, you thought that movie was going to last this long. You should be grateful that you had so many opportunities to come. Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
One of Clive Owen's, like, I never have been a big fan of Clive Owen. And there are some of his movies that I adore, many of his movies that I just don't like.
Shoot 'em up
is the greatest ever. And this is one of those that I completely respect, not really because of him, but he's a part of it, so I have to give him his props. And he's got a great cast behind him. He's got people like Julianne Moore and Chewie. I mean, who I know we're about to hear from or hear about again, but but this movie is just it's great. It's one of those few end of the world movies that don't need to rely on the camp or the comic. It's straight up just sound. Mm-hmm. and great, yeah, yeah. And good, right. You know?
This is the worst thing that is happening, and they took a very serious look and a very serious take on what is literally the worst thing that anybody can think of. The world ending is it. I think this is the worst. So, yeah. Andrew Robinson, you seem upset.
I really love Children of Men.
Really? I think you're the only one.
I know, I'm the only one. I don't know how Douglas even saw this movie. So, my number two is going to have to be an audible at this point, and I'm going to bring in a movie that I know my co-hosts have nothing but hatred for. And it's the 2008 Pixar film, WALL-E. Because if there's one thing that the world is going to end from, it's from pollution. And at that point, all we're going to do is leave garbage collectors. And there's going to be one which becomes sentient and curious.
I could argue that the world didn't technically end in WALL-E. It was a decision that they left the Earth because they were lazy. And it was cheaper to live outer space and use Earth as where they keep all their rubbish.
There it sounds like something like we would do.
It wasn't a catastrophic event that led to that. It was a choice, and so the world is still technically fine. So, yeah.
It's a cartoon version of Oblivion. You realize this, right, Andrew? Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. That is true. That is how I will refer to WALL-E forever. The cartoon version of Oblivion.
I don't know
minus
if you guys
Morgan
saw this.
Freeman.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but it made me laugh the most. Duncan Jones, filmmaker of Moon and Source Code, went and saw Oblivion. He saw him tweet out, like, he took a picture of the theater with the thing saying Oblivion. He's like, here you go. And then he came out 2 hours later and he said, so now I know how my dad felt when he heard this, tweeting a link to Ice Ice Baby.
Wow. Okay, that's wow.
I don't want to say anything further for anyone who actually likes Oblivion or
that's
hasn't
awesome.
Seen it and is to be spoiled for Oblivion as to why that makes sense. But
well, no, I'm sure most people actually don't even realize why that makes sense in terms of who his dad is and what he has to do with that song. But yeah.
But yeah, WALL-E, guys, I love that movie. And how you dare you call it the cartoon version of Oblivion.
Cartoon version of Oblivion. That is perfect. And it was from a director that did Tron, so it's technically Disney-owned. So yeah, Disney gave him the okay to make a real-life version of WALL-E, and Oblivion is what we got. That's perfect.
Yeah,
good job. Number one is Roland Emmerich.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chewie is back.
Roland Emmerich. He is the king. He's done it so much that they have forced him to stop doing it. I said, look, you can make another movie about lunacy, but you cannot destroy the world again.
Are you sure? Are you sure that's that? Listen, the White House is going to somehow be on like a fault line that just destroys the whole Earth.
No,
you know
this,
right?
Doesn't he explode the White House in every one of his movies?
As far as America is concerned, his new movie is about the world ending. So technically, it could be, but Independence Day, Day After Tomorrow, 2012.
After Tomorrow is horrible, by the way.
I don't care what you say.
No.
There was ice storms that kill people, turn them into popsicles on the spot. That is exactly what I paid for. And that is exactly what I got. It is his genre, and he's the best at it. Yeah. No one blows up the world quite like him. And so, yeah, Roland Emmerich is my number one pick. Oh, there are better movies that I haven't said, but he's the best.
Yeah.
And Douglas Robinson, what is your number one?
My number one. Boy, it's kind of like
at
Damien.
At the bottom there. It's
no, it's not. No, it's not. I do love that movie. I actually own it. It's up there somewhere.
I know you.
But no, it's not that one. I'm going to pull a Damien Damien said Roland Emmerich when there are tons of better movies. There are tons of better movies than this one as well, but none that have my heart. So Mel Gibson in Mad Max is probably
the worst thing to ever happen in history. I want an apology for that.
Thunderdome.
I don't even have to say which Mad Max. They're all fantastic. But the first, hold on. Yes, they are.
Have you seen part two?
Yes, I have. I've seen all of them.
With the children?
Yeah. No, part two isn't the one with the children,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is.
No, Thunderdome is part three then?
Part three is... All right, no. Then three is the one. Of the
okay. Yeah. But, yeah, the one with the children, it's still ridiculous. But anyway, in my head, I'm thinking about number one, but it could apply to any of them. The first one, Road Warrior, is fantastic. And that's really the movie that I'm talking about here. I mean, from this... There's no way to describe how
you have the seat
good
yourself.
This movie is. And I'll just leave it at that and say, please watch it and please expect greatness.
Mm-hmm. Are they still making another Mad Max movie with...
I don't know.
Is it Edgerton who's supposed to be in it?
Well, I heard that name before. I've heard Tom Hardy. You know, it's all over the place. I don't know what's happening.
Andrew's number one pick is Waterworld. Thank you, Andrew.
Is it weird that the only thing I remember from Waterworld is the fact that they turn their piss into water to drink? I don't remember anything else. Dennis Hopper is in it.
The only thing I remember about that is literally everything about that movie. It is so bad. I've seen that movie more times than anyone has any right to see it. And every time I watch it, I go, there's no way this movie... made it. How did they get, like, it is one of those,
and it's not even
go, how in God's name did they get enough money to
not
make
even
it?
Like somebody said, you know, let's make a bad movie, we'll go an hour and a half, right. We'll use as little money as possible,
right.
This movie is like 10 hours long.
They spent all the money in the world and it is a billion hours and it is garbage. It is the worst. Douglas, why did you close the list? Aren't you going to have honorable mentions? What is wrong with you?
So, to end it off, my number one is the most real-world, end-of-the-world film on this list, and at the same time, the least, because it's actually a satire about the state of the world at that point in time, and it's Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About the Bomb.
Yeah.
Because... there's nothing better than watching people like Peter Sellers in five different roles in a movie, or seeing George C. Scott talk about the fluids and how it entered his body and made him less of a man.
Peter Sellers is fantastic.
He is.
I was watching A Shot in the Dark last night. It's just, that guy is a genius.
Like, I'm trying to think about which I prefer. Peter Sellers as actual Dr. Strangelove, or as the president on the phone to Russia trying to explain that they made a mistake.
I actually really like him as the soldier. He's also like one of the
Yeah,
the
he's the guy
soldiers.
Who's with George C. Scott.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Thomas, sorry, I'm mixing them up in my head. That's Thomas... That's Harden. Shit. The guy who's in The Killing and in The Godfather is who is in that scene with the soldier, Peter Sellers. It's Hayden. Something Hayden. I can't remember it right now. And he's the one who goes on about the fluids. But it's so good. I love this movie.
Hey guys, Dr. Stranger is pretty good.
It is.
Can you believe it? Can't believe it.
So Damien, what honorable mentions did you have to bring up?
Alright. Pi is one of them.
Pi as in
Pi. P-I, the one with the numbers and him.
How is that the end of the world though?
So hold on. Wait. Yes. One small question.
Yes.
I'm not the only one on this podcast who likes that movie?
No.
Holy shit.
When was that? Doctors is the one that is diametric.
Douglas is the one who got that movie and threw it in a bin.
I did.
Douglas hates that movie as if it gave him cancer. This is how much Douglas hates it. I don't know why. But whatever. District 9 is another one.
No, but back up, please. Please, can you District explain 9, to me how Pi is an District end of 9. The world movie?
What was he doing? What was he actively doing in that movie, Douglas?
He wrote his program, mm-hmm. and his program had to do with predicting where the stock market would go, mm-hmm. right?
And what happened?
Like the CIA came for him to get the chip or something like right. that.
Because his program was going to destroy the world's markets, which would lead to the collapse of the economy and destroy the world.
All right, fair enough. I have to admit, I haven't watched this movie since I bought it, which was in literally 2001.
You're a bad person. Andrew was debating District 9. Or what is your like, confusion? District 9.
That movie, the world doesn't end. It doesn't even have a threat of ending. It's oppression, and there's no... It's just about that one little area. It's not about the world at all.
Andrew Robinson, if an alien spaceship came down today and landed anywhere on Earth, what happens the next day?
No. I agree. Right. However,
The movie talked about that. And logically, everybody knows that if there is one alien spaceship, there must be other alien spaceships. And so, of course, there's always the fear of the world ending if aliens show up. That is the first thing. The world goes to DEFCON 900 if an alien ship appears at any point. So it is still technically about the ending of the world. Book of Eli, I alone love that movie. You guys both don't love it as much. Zombieland.
Oh, I love that movie.
There be zombies. Shaun of the Dead, of course, there be zombies. It's a disaster. Neither of you have seen it. It's really
funny. Saw it. Oh, I like it.
It's really good. I like the ending a lot. That movie's pretty good. No, that's pretty much it. I put some joke ones on there, like Dogma. Dogma's not really. There's a threat, but come on. And the FP, because it's the end of days, J-Tro.
It is a post-apocalyptic film in which Beats Revelations rules the world. But
first of all, that is how the world works today. That's how I end conflicts.
What I have on my honorable mentions, I have Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1970s version, because I actually haven't seen the 50s version. I have Watchmen, which is all about the bomb, just like Doctor Strangelove and the threat of the bomb. I have Planet of the Apes, which I really, really like that movie, guys. It's really good.
Wait, and which version are you talking about?
The 1968 version, the original.
Actually don't like any of them.
I've actually only seen, well, I shouldn't say only seen, because I have seen the Mark Wahlberg one, but I try to forget that. This one I had on the list, and I kind of wanted to argue for, but I know you guys don't like it, and on top of which, I'm trying to think whether I really should call it an end of the world movie, and it's The Mist. I feel like it can be argued for the same sake that District 9 is, where aliens show up, the world is... We can call it over at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the world is over.
Right. I really love The Mist, guys.
Yeah, you should. So, probably my favorite mention is The Happening, starring Mark Wahlberg, and no, it's not.
Your It Girl.
Exactly. No, actually, I only have one honorable mention, and...
Lost in Space.
I'm not 100% sure if this movie kind of fits. Depending on how you want to argue it, it is or is not an end of the world movie, but to me it kind of feels like it. If it, even if it isn't, it has that feeling. And that movie is Equilibrium with Christian Bale. So I love this movie.
And Douglas, any excuse you can get to mention Equilibrium is a good enough excuse for me. This is the best romance movie. This is the best movie about cars. Like any excuse you need.
It's I'm the onward. Best gun cutter film of all time.
Yes, that one is. Oh, but that movie is fantastic, and I just needed to put that out there.
But sadly, we're out of time. We've run long. So, Andrew, can you outro this podcast?
Outro.
How are we gonna solve shit out without no ducks?
I don't know, Damien, but we're going to have to find out next week, because this is the end of the Unnamed Movie Podcast as it stands this week. As always, you can find the podcast through all of the multiple ways. There's gmanreviews.com, there's Stitcher, there's iTunes, there's Pocket Casts. I'm sure there's some other aggregation software that that you can find it on. You can respond to us on Twitter. Damien is at Damien_White. Douglas is at DJR lost his name. I'm at G-Man Reviews. You can tell us how horrible our top fives are, why Damien and Douglas didn't fall completely in love with Fish Story and why they're wrong. Or you could just say hi, you know? It works as well. But as always, thanks so much for listening and good night.
Furious 6 is a 4.
Still the thrill that it was the day I found you seems like old times. Dinner day. Making dreams come true, doing things we used to do, seems like old times.
Thank you.